Hi, everybody. Great to see you. Give me one moment, we'll get started. All right. So good to see everyone. It was wonderful to see some of you last week. We had kind of an epic 3 hours, I thought, for our new and tentative practitioner workshop. If you missed it and you wanted to catch it, listen to the recording, you will not be disappointed. You will receive so much. It was really just such a beautiful time together. Today, we are starting a new module. This module is a big one, and it encompasses visioning and strategizing skills. So we're going to have 3 live calls for this module. All 3 of those live calls are training calls. So today's call is called Co-Creating Magnificent Visions That Stick and Flourish. Next week, we're going to continue, not on Tuesday, though, because it's a holiday in the US. So you have on your calendars, we're going to be meeting next Wednesday instead. We're going to continue with visioning by looking at what I call the energetics of new things, because when we or our clients start new things, they have a very different energy than ongoing things. And we want to be aware with that and help clients work with that. And then our 3rd training call in this module is all about strategizing skills and how to support clients to really take what they've visioned and strategize really well. In addition to those 3 live calls, you'll also have in your member center 2 recorded. They're both demos. So one is how to support a client to vision via a visualization. So how to actually use a visualization versus talking back and forth in visioning. And then the other is, I believe it is a demo of a 1st session, which we'll go over later today. Right, Lisa's asking, is there a recording of the Business and Life Alchemy session from last week? There is, Lisa. It's only available to the public tomorrow, but you guys are inner circle, you're not public. So let me see if I can have the team put it somewhere else so that you all can have it at your leisure. So recording of Biz and Life. Okay. Yeah, give us a couple of days and I'll get that set for you. Okay, before we jump in to the work for today. Actually, speaking of the Business and Life Alchemy session that I held last week, that was an intro to a 4-week course that I teach. It's a quickie. It's called Sacred Rhythms. I've already shared here. A couple of you have signed up, but I've already shared here. Unless you feel like you really, really need to, don't sign up for that course. You will actually have opportunity later on to, I will run it again. Focus on the sacred depths work, unless you are just like, I need more of Joanna and all this stuff. But the reason why I'm bringing it up is because a number of you have asked me what a good way to introduce all of the sacred depths work and just all this work that we do to your friends, to your colleagues, to your clients. Sacred Rhythms is a great intro. It's not really an intro to sacred depths, but it's just an intro to this depth work and to me and to, how to go deep. So please, if you have friends who you know would love this kind of work, share with them about Sacred Rhythms. There's a special rate until tomorrow on the course. But if you have a friend that's like, ooh, I want in, and they, you know, don't look at it till tomorrow night or Friday or whatever, just let me know and we'll get them in at the special rate. When will I run Sacred Rhythms again? That is a good question. I don't have the answer to that yet, but it will be within 12 to 18 months, I promise. Oh yeah. And that's a good question, Jennifer. Let me just pop the information page for Sacred Rhythms in the chat since I'm telling you about it. Okay. All right. So with all of that, let's jump into you'll see, Jennifer, just click on the link. You'll see what it is. Okay, so with all of that, let's jump into co-creating magnificent visions that stick and flourish. And I want to start with a quote from a book called The Magic Lamp by Keith Ellis. It's a great little book. It's a quick read. And in The Magic Lamp, Keith Ellis says this: when people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. When people don't get what they want from life, usually it's because they don't know what they want. A big part of the work that we do as transformational practitioners is to support our clients to get clear or more clear on what they really want. And it might sound simple, but there's more to this than meets the eye, as we're going to see today. A vision is really at the heart of any coaching or transformational work that you're going to do with another human being. Whether that vision is what I would call like a bigger vision. And by bigger vision, I mean visioning out your whole business with all of your programming and everything that you're going to include. Or whether that vision is for what I would call a goal on the way to the bigger vision. What does that very next program look like? Or whether that vision is almost like a sub-goal or a strategy on the way to the bigger vision. So for example, what do I want that enrollment conversation to look like next week? So the vision is at the heart of any of the work we do. And it's in its simplest terms, we can say that it's a detailed profile that becomes a guiding light for the client. The vision becomes a guiding light for the client, either long-term or short-term, a place to aspire to, and a place to stay aligned with. Visioning sets the stage for creating personal change, organizational change, or social change. And when you're working with a client and there isn't a shared vision, again, whether it's that bigger vision or one of those smaller visions, when you're working with a client and there isn't that shared vision, you can end up just moving along aimlessly in your work together without any real direction. The metaphor I like to use with this is, let's say you want to go on a cross-country trip, right? Let's say you're starting in New York and you want to go on a trip. If you have a vision, if you know you want to end up in San Francisco, then you can plot the trip across the country. You can say first, the best way to get there is first to drive west. I know nothing about geography, so I'm going to butch this and stop in Cleveland. I don't know. And then to keep on going and end up at Salt Lake City, right? You can plot that trip and know where you're going. But if you say that you want to take a trip and you don't have a vision, you don't know where you want to go, then you just sort of drive and wander aimlessly, right? So we want to have some kind of vision when we're working with our clients. When you get the vision right, you've got a strong foundation for the work that you're doing together. When the vision is misaligned, then the foundation isn't very strong and it's hard to build a solid house on top of that. You might be able to have some forward movement if the vision is misaligned, but the forward movement won't last very long. If you don't co-create with your client an aligned vision, you'll end up maybe with something that's not realistic for that client to achieve, or something that the client doesn't believe that they can achieve, or something that the client doesn't actually desire for themselves. And all of that leads to not actually reaching the vision, getting stuck and stymied, having difficulty moving forward, not being motivated, being drained as you try to move forward. Or if your client's a get it done person, like I am, they'll get it done, but they won't feel happy or satisfied as they do it or when they do it. Now, all that being said, I don't want you to go into any kind of panic mode of, oh my gosh, I need to get the vision exactly right with the client, you know, or else, right? We're not talking about myth of perfection here. We're going to look today at strategies on how to support a client to get as aligned as possible with their vision. And also, and this is really important, we'll look more at this later, but I just want to say this now. So that we don't go into panic. Of course, sometimes visions can change as humans change and evolve, and our clients are going to be changing and evolving as we work with them, right? So it's okay. We'll talk about what happens when it does. And also, sometimes, depending on what season a client is in, they're not ready to fully form their vision. They can get, you know, some vague ideas on it, and then you need to do some work together for the vision to get more clear and more clear and more clear, right? It's all good. So we want to be aware that our job is not only to support clients to get clear on a vision, but that we want it to be an aligned vision, not a misaligned one. And a lot of practitioners, not sacred depthers, but a lot of practitioners out there also aren't aware that their filters could potentially get in their way when they're supporting a client to articulate the vision, right? We learned about this in our listening skills. You may want to build an empire But that doesn't mean your client wants to build an empire. You may think the most ideal vision of a romantic partnership is marriage, but that's not necessarily what your client, what is ideal for your client, what is aligned for your client, right? The other thing that a lot of practitioners don't always realize is that sometimes you need to really dive deep and really explore with a client what they want in order for the clarity on the vision to come. It's not always going to be what the surface reveals or what a client comes into coaching with you, what they think they want. There's lots of reasons for this. But one of them is because most people don't allow themselves to vision for real. I'm going to explain. Yeah, I saw Agnes raised her hand. We're going to talk more about this. This is really important. Most people don't allow themselves to vision for real. Or they, I don't know, the best way I can put this is they overvision things that aren't necessarily within their reach within a certain time period. Okay. So let's hone in a little bit more on this piece of not allowing ourselves to vision. And let me ask you some inner work questions on this, just to kind of start to see for yourself. First question, how were you given or not given permission as a child or young person to vision for yourself? I'll put that in the chat. How are you given or not given permission as a child or as a young person to vision for yourself? I'll ask a series of questions and then I'll open up for some shares. Give you another half minute on that one. Susan's saying, I feel I had permission, but wasn't supported to follow through much. Yeah. And one of the reasons why I ask these inner work questions, obviously, is so we can see for ourselves, but also because it mirrors, you know, we want this understanding for coaching, right? Because there are going to be some clients that come to us that were maybe given permission to vision, but then they weren't supported through it. We're there to hold a corrective experience for that or a different experience for that. Jessica's saying, I don't feel that my parents and teachers really made a big deal on this. It was more benign neglect. Yeah. Yeah. All right, let me ask a couple of other questions. What did you learn or not learn from your parents or authority figures about having a vision? So it might just get at that last question a different way, or maybe they modeled something or didn't model something for you. What did you learn or not learn from your parents or authority figures about having a vision. Thank you for all of these shares in the chat. Again, it's so important for us to know this for ourselves. And then I ask these questions for us to understand a range of human experience, right, for the clients that are coming to us. Yeah, fairy tale Hollywood version of visioning, partial permissions, not having a winging it, not practical. Okay, good. Here's another question. I'm going to ask it and then I'm going to explain why I'm asking it. How has dominant culture allowed or not allowed you to vision for yourself? So the reason why I ask this question is because if any part of your identity it doesn't intersect with dominant culture, there may have been some messaging for you or your family or your culture or whatever around how you are or not allowed to vision. So how has dominant culture allowed or not allowed you to vision for yourself? Right. And we want to be thinking about this too with our clients and check our filters on this one. Thanks for all the shares in the chat. These are so important. Okay. All right, so let's pause here. We're going to spend the rest of the call today looking at strategies to use with clients in order to create aligned visions. But before we do, I'd love to hear so far in this conversation that we've been having so far on visions, and what they are and why they're important. What are you seeing that's feeling important for you? Or for your work? What's clicking for you? What's feeling important for you? Who'd like to share? Just raise your hand. What's clicking? What's feeling important? What are you learning so far about visioning and visions? Helen.
As you're kind of contextualizing what it means to vision, I kind of had this aha moment that I personally have not been allowing myself to vision on a larger scale. And I have been feeling really out of sorts and stuck and not sure what's going on. And I'm like, oh yeah, that's probably why, because I'm not I don't have a horizon or a destination. I'm just kind of prey to the winds. I'm definitely gonna be sitting with that and unpacking my needs and my desires and my wants for the future to get a bit more clarity. So I'm appreciating just that simple little switch of awareness.
Yeah. I'm so glad. And there are certain seasons in life where we're meant to be untethered to a vision and kind of move just in those ways. And then there are other seasons of life not. So as we go through the strategies today, Helen, take note, not just for your client work, but for yourself. And actually the practice for anyone working with a practice partner over the next 2 weeks is going to take everything we learn and do a visioning session. So you'll have opportunity. Maria.
Well, your last question kind of brought it for me. Like, I've never really been a part of dominant culture. I'm not going to get into my childhood, but I did not grow up like a lot of people. And so I was just really free as a little girl. I wanted to be an Indian medicine maker, and that was my imagination. And although I'm not Indian, I'm a medicine maker. And like, those were my daydreams. And so like, my daydream fantasies actually became my real life. Mm-hmm. But so when you asked about what a dominant culture, I could never really fit there. So I just created my own thing.
Yes.
That's I what love I had
it. It's like you were outside of the shackles of dominant culture, and it allowed your vision to be unleashed more fully because of it.
But you need strategy to implement it. But yeah, that's what.
Beautiful. Thank you for sharing. Danielle.
I'm just realizing how this feels so connected for me to trusting ourselves. How that was explicitly the messaging I got around that was quite the thing to undo later in life. Explicitly, implicitly, family, school, religion, dominant culture. I also am realizing now, I haven't really put this together before, but I grew up in England till I was 17. And my experience of that was compared to America, where I've been for the last 25 years, almost like a sense of arrogance that it would to like, and I kind of loved it actually. Like, it was, it's been a bit of a thing for me coming to America that everyone's like, I'm a dreamer, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that. And it just felt a little arrogant there, mm-hmm. to be like that. That's my experience, not a statement on the culture at large, just my. So just seeing the layers of this and the connection to working with a sacred depths coach and feeling from my deepest wisdom that I needed to slow down in this process of visioning and really allow myself to dream and to stay there longer than felt comfortable, actually. And that was kind of the work for me to reclaim that kind of right to do that. And again, for me, a lot of it came from a religious setting where there was no question, you know, if you're going to be a good girl, the vision has been set for you. And this is connected to the stuff you talked about in the Cinderella call too, with there's only so much to go around. And so all the levels of this, I'm like, woo. And I'm thankful for the work of this past year for me of slowing down and naming that visioning is important to, gift to myself and stay there. Like, it was uncomfortable for me in a good way to slow down in that.
Yeah, beautiful. Thank you so much for sharing all of that. So much in what you're saying, and how this, you know, what there's so much I can pull out of what you just said, but I think that the biggest thing that I want to pull out is this connection between trusting ourselves and visioning, and how when we're going along with dominant culture or what we think the vision should be, we may not even realize that there's a more aligned vision. And then even when we start to clue into, oh, there might be, then there's this whole other piece of, can I trust myself to do that? You know, and it's uncomfortable, and there's work to be done there with our clients. Thank you. I'm going to take Amy and Rosa, and then we're going to keep on going. Amy.
Yeah, resonating a lot with what's coming up. I'm seeing a few things. First of all, kind of an excitement within me about this visioning, with also a sense of as well. And the excitement seems to be, I feel, you know, my inner world feels very rich and comfortable with kind of the dreamer and having the vision. And I'm seeing, as I was writing about what was I kind of feeling, experiencing growing up with, seeing, oh, the importance of having a supportive guidance to bring that into the world, like the steps to be shown about how these exciting dreams can actually come out into the world. And so for me, there was also this piece around really stepping into that space about, you know, really owning and claiming this vision and bringing it into the world, because that's the part of me that feels like, ooh, that's scary and stretchy, and ooh, I don't know about that, and ooh, wasn't really shown or modeled that necessarily, for maybe not kind of where I see myself now as perhaps flowing in the mainstream way, and coming outside of these other boxes of like, ooh, you want to do it that way, ooh, you know. Kind of go on and on with that, but yeah, so there's lots around this, but that's initially what was coming up.
Yeah, I love that. I love that there is that combination of excitement and eek. That's actually exactly where I always want my clients to be when we're visioning, right? To have both the excitement for about it and also like, ooh, this is a stretch. There might be a little bit of fear here, right? That's what we know we've hit. We're starting to hit on things. So I love just the kind of, for you, just even starting to consider it. It's bringing all of that up. Thank you.
Thank you.
Rosa.
Yeah, this is really interesting. I felt a lot of anger coming up at how I did not get support for visioning as a child. And also just like, and underneath the anger, it's like just a sense who, you know, there's a way in which visioning has always seemed a little, I don't know, potentially cheap and shallow to me. Like it's all about, you know, how you're going to make $1 million or how you're going to, you know, like it's like a dressed up version of achieve or whatever, right? And so of course I'm like, well, of course you're going to do it in a different way, Joanne. And so, but I wasn't expecting it. And so the words aligned vision, like that just feels so important, right? And then when you were saying that the filters can get in our way, like our own filters can get in the way of our own vision, like our conditioning as a child that what I need to do is please my parents, or our filters can get in the way of really being there for a client. So both of those things really resonated. And then when you said most people don't allow themselves to vision for real, and then you said something about how, or over-vision things that are not within reach within a given time period. So like just kind of this like fantasy of, oh, if you think it, it will happen, like no matter how ungrounded or whatever it is. And just really getting much more into this sense of that, you know, this is a soul hunger. It's like getting in touch with our inner guidance system for what we want in our lives. And so then that's where the anger comes from, that it just feels like, wow, this does not get nurtured. And also, you know, as usual, the chat is so helpful because I'm realizing it wasn't just me that this doesn't get nurtured in, right? It's like it didn't get nurtured for so many of us. And yeah, just wow. Thank you.
Yeah, thank you. You just gave us a beautiful setup for going into the strategies, because a lot of what you touched on, we're going to get deeper into. So thank you for that. And also, so much of what you shared and so much of what everyone has shared, we want to remember that our clients might potentially be coming in with this stuff as well, or different pieces of it. Thank you. I want to read out loud Infinity's share in the chat. Infinity says, I wasn't encouraged to articulate a vision for myself. My parents wanted me to follow a career path that would be practical, financially stable, and societally recognized. I can raise my hand to that one too. My parents wanted that for me as well. They were horrified when first I became a ritualist and then a coach. But didn't give me space to dream into what I truly wanted to do. They believed that in order to survive, one needed to make a lot of compromises. And they both worked hard at jobs that weren't soul fulfilling. The dominant culture also didn't make it easy to see or connect with empowered Asian female role models. Yeah. Most of my teachers all throughout my life were white. As a child of Vietnamese refugees, it was challenging at times to feel like I could have a seat at the table in terms of leadership. Thank you so much for sharing all of that with us, Infinity. All of it's so important. And then that last piece also speaks to so much to this point of the importance of us really listening deeply to our clients and checking our filters. Depending on who we are, we might feel like we had permission to vision in certain ways, but that doesn't mean that our client did for many different reasons. Susan's sharing about the pressure of get rich quick. We're going to talk about that. This class, I'll just tell you from here. Well, we've already started, but I'll just tell you, continuing, we're going to get a little, not political, but a little like, we are the resistance in this class when it comes to visioning, as with so many topics we look at together. Okay, so let's jump in to strategies, or what I would call guidelines for visioning effectively with clients. Some of these are going to be very obvious, others not so obvious, but even if they're obvious on the outset, listen deeply for the nuances in it. Okay, so first guideline, I like when I'm working with a client to start upfront with a vision and then come back to it regularly throughout our work together to see how it's shifted and changed. Even before we start, we have a session, even in the sales conversation, I'm asking questions about the client's vision. And then in the welcome packet, before we get to our first session, I'm asking questions about vision. And then oftentimes we'll spend a lot of our first session getting deeper. At the end of our call today, I'll share more what that looks like. But I like to give it a full session at the beginning because it's more than a 5-minute discussion. Right? We want to have that time to explore and to look and to start to shape. And then, as I said earlier, you want to understand that visions are subject to change. And it is okay if a client's vision changes. It doesn't mean you've done anything wrong as a practitioner if the vision changes, so long as you don't let it go on and on without acknowledging that the vision has changed or clarifying what the new vision is, right? When I think about bigger vision, and everybody is different, you always want to coach the what based on the who, but I'll just share, I personally have never been able to answer a question like, what's your 5-year vision? Like 5 years is just way too far for me personally. Like I can't, you know, about a year and a half is as far, even in my business now. Like I don't know who I'm gonna be in 5 years. Now that doesn't mean that there isn't a client who has like a really solid 5-year vision, but I'm just pointing this out to say, it's not going to be like that for everyone, right? So always coach the what based on the who. And oftentimes in our work with clients, it's actually not helpful to identify the five-year vision. Identifying the 12-month vision, 18 months, something like that, is usually more helpful to keep it grounded, realistic, and get clear on strategy. Oh, here's another guideline. Know the difference between a vision and a goal and a strategy. People always get stuck on this one. If this one doesn't click in your brain, don't worry too much on it, but I'm going to explain what I mean. And hopefully for some of you, it will be helpful and some not. So I like to think of the bigger vision as a little farther into the future, right? Let's say a year or so. I like to think of goals, which can also be visioned, but we just want to understand the distinction, as markers on the journey to the bigger vision. And then strategies help us achieve those goals on the journey to the bigger vision. So, for example, you may have a client that visions out what they want their hormonal health to look like in a year from now. That might be a bigger vision. And then a goal, sometimes goals and strategies can be interchangeable. Sometimes visions and goals can too, but managing their blood sugar might be a strategy or a goal on the way to that bigger vision of what their hormonal health looks like. Another example, let's say you have a client and their bigger vision is around a peaceful household with happy kids and, you know, whatever that vision is in their household with their children. Maybe a goal or a strategy on the way to that is setting limits on technology use. The reason why I'm taking a moment to kind of have us think about, even though sometimes they can end up in the same categories or whatever, but the reason why I'm having us take a moment to think about this is that problems can often happen in coaching when the practitioner and the client jump to strategies before outlining the vision. Remember, the vision is the guiding light. To use that road trip metaphor again, you can't make a decision about the first stop on the road trip if you don't know where the goal is, right? Where you're ending up. And then oftentimes what happens is when practitioners and clients jump to the strategies, that's where things get misaligned. Because, for example, you can't decide if you're going to run an ad for your business if you're not sure where you want to go in your business. That could be a good strategy, but it could also be like not the right strategy for that time. Or you can't decide if you're going to ask for a raise or not if you haven't outlined what the next vision for your career is. Does that make sense? Yeah. Okay. Let me pause here so I don't just talk on and on. There's so many exciting things I want to share today. Any thoughts or questions around starting with the vision up front and then coming back to it regularly, or knowing the difference between vision, goals, and strategies, even if it's not always a precise difference between them? Any questions or anything that wants to be shared on those? Sharon.
Exactly. I missed the first bit of the call where you actually gave the definition of a vision. So that might be in there. There's something for me about, it makes absolute chronological time sense to really focus on the vision in the early stages. What is it you want? How are we going to get this? However, if a client comes who isn't used to knowing what they want or being clear about their desires, there's something in my brain about, well, how long do I take trying to focus in on that, when actually the issue underneath is getting to the, how do we find a place where you can know and express your desires to create the vision? And so there's something in that kind of like, that's coming in for me. Just want to.
Yeah, it's such a great question. I'll share a couple of things for now. A little bit of this we're going to talk more on in our call today, or if we don't get to it today, we'll get to it next week. Because some of it has to do with what season a client is in. Some of that may have to do with, before getting to the vision, we need to work on some fears or unhelpful beliefs around having a vision, right? And that's, we're going to spend a lot of time in the rest of the program looking at all of those strategies. When it becomes clear that in that, you know, first time period, you know, that first, let's say, couple of weeks, that the client isn't ready yet for a vision. And again, we'll look at the strategies for that as we move along the program. We can still create, and I think you started saying this, Sharon, we can still create a provisional vision, which is to get clear on the vision, right? So even that, right, then we know what we're working towards. It's a little meta, but it's actually important. Glad you brought that up. Thank you. Jessica.
Hi. So it's actually interesting because when I have clients, and I've been doing this work for about 8 years now, I use a tool called the 5 Reasons Why. And so we go deep and deep and deep and deep. And at the end, it always becomes some sort of version of, I don't have a body that's fun to live in again, and that's what I want. Mm. And that means many different things to many different people. It does not mean being on stage in a bikini. It means being able to get with the grandchildren, play Matchbox cars, do what you want without a second thought, right? And so I've actually put that into my marketing materials as, and I tell people, I'm the person who will help you get a body that's fun to live in again. So then I start attracting the people who want that. And then going into, this is so resonating with me because what I'm working now is I have that vision and it attracts people. Then these people have different goals that they want for that. But building the goal is the skill. You have to get the skill. In order to get the skill, you have to embody certain habits in your life. And in order to get the habit, you have to agree to doing certain very, very small daily practices. That is the foundation level of all of that. So what you're talking about here is like smacking me in the face. Yes, this is really resonating. So thank you very much.
Yeah, you're so welcome. I love how you just described that. And also you brought in a really important piece that I meant to mention before. So thank you for reminding me. You know, everything that we learn in Sacred Depths, today's class included, can be applied to our marketing. So just like a vision is so vital to our client work, we want to make sure that we're speaking to visions in our marketing as well, like Jessica just described. Okay, great. Maria, I think, let me know at the end of the call, but I think we're going to get your question answered by the end of the call. It's a good one. How are vision and intention related? We'll get there in a little bit. Okay, next guideline. This is one that you all know, but listen for the nuances. Know the difference. And some of this was already spoken to. Know the difference between a desire and a should. Know the difference between a desire and a should, and help your client know the difference as well, right? So many, especially if we haven't been given permission to really vision, so much of what we might think is our true vision comes from, I should do that. I have to do that. I need to do that. That's just what's done. Versus, I really desire that. Right. And we want to support our clients to move towards visions that they deeply desire. So how can we help them do this? Well, again, later in the program, we'll get to, you know, when we need to go like way deeper with their fears of, I'm not allowed to do that, or, you know, I'm scared to do that, right? Whatever that is, the vision. But I want to share some other ways right now that can still really be helpful. Number one, asking just the simple question, why do you want this? Right? So if a client says, I want a seven-figure business, why? Why would you like a seven-figure business? If a client says, I'd like to lose 30 pounds, right? Sometimes the why will help completely underscore and validate that desire, and other times it will reveal that it's not actually a desire. Another question you can ask, one of our numbers questions from our questioning module, on a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you really want this? On a scale of 1 to 10, how much do you really want this? That can be revealing. How excited are you about this? Here's another question you can ask if you sense something is coming from a place of a should versus a desire. Whose vision is that? Is that yours? Is that your father's? Whose vision is that? Where do you feel this vision in your body? And what does it feel like? I'm going to toss an idea out to all of you. I have come to see for myself and the clients that I work with that visions are products of the heart. Visions are products of the heart. They come from our heart. Rosa earlier was saying soul. I mean, we can call it soul also. And because of that, what I have found is working with a client to activate that heart level of learning and transformation, connecting to the heart, is a quick way of getting clear between the desire and the should, right? So sometimes it's as simple as place a hand on your heart. And as you think about what you just shared of what you want for yourself, what does your heart want you to know about this, right? The other kind of strategy that can activate the heart level of learning and processing with a vision is to do a visualization, a heart-centered visualization on a vision. And that's one of the demo recordings that you'll be receiving this week, where I do a demo of that and then we break it down. The other thing that is related to this, knowing the difference between a desire and a should, is that I often like to think that visions include not just what we want to achieve, but include our future self. In other words, who are we becoming who will we be, right? What is that desire there? And that informs what that outer vision, the desire in the outer vision. Does all of that make sense? Okay, here's another piece that is related to the desire versus the should, and also is bigger than that. We want to work with our clients so that what they vision is related to their core values. We want their vision to be related to their core value. If it's not, I guarantee you the vision is based on a should versus a desire. So when we don't define our values, our needs, our priorities for ourselves, then we take actions or go after visions or goals that are misaligned from our hearts and from what is true for us. And instead, we're going after things that are based on societal values, right? Or other values. And then that's when sleepwalking comes in, when we're just sleepwalking through our lives. So I always take the time to define and understand with my client, what are their core values? Is it integrity? Is it kindness? Is it paradigm smashing? Is it freedom? Right? What are some of their most important values? And then we look to see how those line up with the vision. Jen.
This is so good. I love this call so much. I'm getting all kinds of juiciness. Like, I thought I had a vision. I don't know if I actually have a vision.
More than you think you did, but you'll get to some nuances, aligned like, nuances.
Question about the order of operations. And of course I know this is subjective. But typically what I'll do is, so I see my clients for an hour, a session. The first session is 90 minutes. So we talk about what I call a sacred strategy session. And it's really about like how to make the most of the program, how to like flow. And we don't have to get too deep into this because I recognize this isn't a business call here, but the second call is typically a, you know, big why, like goals, big why.
Yeah.
The third call is understanding resistance. And then the fourth one, which is in the second month, is focus and values, like intention. And I'm like, yeah, I'm just curious how, what your advice would be. I know I'm asking for a formula. I get that. But just kind of like what in general has worked the best
for you? Yeah, that's a great question. So I know there's so many different ways of doing things. So what I'm about to share isn't the right way, you know, with the capital truth. Totally. It's just me. I don't have a prescribed plan for my client sessions. I don't have in my group, you know, work I do because you need it, but because the private work is so tailored to like who the person is, what they need, I just have never done the prescribed first call is this, second call is this, third. And I'm not telling you to change it. If it works for you, keep on going with it. But to me, we kind of roll more organically with it. And so, for example, I might preempt resistance, right? And we'll learn all how to do that. But I won't, beyond preempting it, we won't necessarily work it until I see it's the right time or it's coming up or there's hesitance to even vision because of resistance. Values is another different. So I'm listening for values, even if I'm not explicitly asking. At some point I do explicitly ask, but I'm listening for values from as early as the sales call. Every interaction I'm having, because sometimes a client doesn't even know what their biggest values are, right? But that's what you're using your listening skills to, like, what is important to them? I'm asking about it in the welcome packet sometimes, and then explicitly, you know, if I'm not sure, but I'm not doing like a separate thing on it, but I am making sure I'm starting to understand their values as soon as possible.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just want to harp on the organic. I have a plan. It never actually, but it's all there for the group.
But no, but that's good. Yeah, like, I'm glad to hear you say that you're not strictly following. That's what lets me know that your sessions are really meeting their clients, where they're at, and that they're alive for your clients. It's great if you have. Yeah. You need to have the idea in your mind. And when we get to strategizing, you'll see I do have a idea that I share with my client on how it's going to go and what we're going to cover in a little bit the order, but I don't adhere to it tightly. It's just different for everybody.
I always tell them, like, you're captaining the ship. What do you, and especially after you gave us that line of what would you like to walk away with?
Yeah.
But I do recognize that, you know, even in like I've just recently done a bunch of goal setting calls, but they all have had something else. And so, like, okay, so we'll just like keep
sometimes
going along, you know, and kind of planting the seeds of goals along the way. Sometimes I just wish there were like 3-hour sessions instead of 1 hour.
Well, that's why it can be useful to have, and which you do have your kickoff session be longer. My kickoff session is often longer. And also, if we don't get to it today, we'll get to it next time. I'll briefly describe what I do in a first session, which addresses a lot of the things that you're talking about too. All right, let's keep on going. There's okay. Still a lot. Cool. Thank you. Okay, we're not gonna take the time to answer. I have some inner work questions on for you all on should versus desire. We're not going to answer them right now. I am almost positive that they're in one of your resource sheets, but just in case, I'm putting them into the chat right now. Just copy and paste them for yourself to answer when you get a moment. Okay, let's keep on going. Some more guidelines for effective visioning. Give permission for your client to vision and to break rules and expectations. Similar to the desire versus the should, but it's just going a little deeper with this. Give permission for the client, right? We looked at all the reasons why it's so hard to vision already on this call and why we hold ourselves back, right? How we stay with the dominant and all the things. Part of our containers and our work with our clients is to give that permission to truly vision, to break the rules and to break other people's expectations. So, again, a lot goes into this. Sometimes we have to do the much deeper work with the fear and the beliefs, et cetera. But for now, I want to share some other easier, like, could think of, I don't know if that's the best word, but questions that can get at this a little bit. You could ask a client, for example, what would you really want to accomplish in life if you were absolutely positively certain that you would do it? That's from The Magic Lamp, by the way. What would you really want to accomplish if you were absolutely positively certain that you would do it? Right? Because sometimes we don't share what we really, really want because we don't think we're going to do it. Or what would you really want from life if you were absolutely positively certain you would get it? Right. And shift the language in this for what's right for you. If you're working on health, what would you really want from your health if you were absolutely positively certain? Right. Here's another question. What would you be doing totally different if you were absolutely positively certain it was okay? What would you be doing differently if you knew it was okay? So sometimes we might ask these questions if we sense that a client isn't giving themselves permission. How do we know if a client isn't giving themselves permission to really vision? What might be some indicators? Who wants to share? How might we know if someone isn't really giving themselves permission to vision? What might we be listening for to know that? Amy's saying, maybe answering, I don't know. Oh, whoops, it just left. And backing away. Yeah, you see yourself in this. Jessica saying their tone, the tone, if there's resignation, right? Or other kinds of shifts in tones, it might be Jessica saying vague. Jennifer saying if they say the word should a lot, I'll add to that need to also. Susan is saying lack of enthusiasm. Yeah, exactly. You're all excellent listeners, right? So we want to be listening for that. And that's when we might start to pull out some of these questions. Danielle is saying changing the subject. Yeah, good. Okay. So here's another guideline. Make it a stretch. Make it a stretch. And what I'm going to say is make it doable with a stretch. Right? There's so much. I mean, we know I could just go on and on about make 7 figures in a month, lose 50 pounds in a week. I don't know, find your lifelong partner in the next 30, like whatever it is. And this is a vision, right? That's an example of a vision, but it's a harmful one, right? Because it's not doable for most people. And then what happens? And then they buy the coaching or the service or whatever it is, because they really want the vision. Of course they do. And then they start working towards it. And it's not happening because it's not realistic. It's not doable, at least in the time frame, right? And then what happens next? The client ends up feeling terrible about themselves and ashamed and hopeless, or they resent the practitioner because obviously the practitioner is falling short if they're not helping them achieve the goal, right? It's not good, no matter how you look at it. So we want to support clients when they vision to go beyond their comfort zones to make it a stretch. If it's inside of their comfort zone, they don't really need our support with it, right? But we also want it to be doable. So when I first became a coach, I read a lot of Cheryl Richardson's work. She was like one of the original amazing coaches. And she has this this one exercise in one of her books that she calls stretch, risk, or die. And I've always remembered it. I always thought it's great. And I use it in my coaching. And so basically what stretch, risk, or die is, you want to support a client to go after something that is either in the stretch zone or the risk zone. So a stretch is, you know, I'm really, really scared of, I really want to find a romantic partner. And maybe for that particular client, a stretch is like a little stretch, like, okay, but I'm willing to go to a singles event, right? Maybe that's a stretch. Risk zone is like a big stretch. Right? Maybe for a particular client, a risk, and they're willing to go for it, is making an online dating profile, right? But what Cheryl Richardson says is, you don't want to create visions or goals that are in the, I would rather die than do this zone. Every now and again, I'll joke with a client. If she's like, oh my God, I would die. I'd be like, no, I don't know. I think it's a stretch. Actually, right? But we want to really under, right? So maybe for that client, the die is like, they have a big crush on someone and like going straight up to them and asking them out on a date, right? So we wanna bring visions into that stretch, into that risk place. So I'll ask you to think about for a moment, where is one place in your own life right now where you could maybe stretch or risk just a little bit more? Or if you tend to fall into the I'd rather die than do that, where is a place in your life where maybe you could take yourself out of the I'd rather die zone a little bit more? We want to use our questioning skills to support clients in this. So we can explain to them about stretch, risk, or die as an example and have them make three categories, right? So that they can kind of get clear and then see where they want to go with it. We can simply ask, what would be more of a stretch here for you, an aligned stretch here for you? Sometimes if I sense a client is ready to stretch, but they need like a little out of the box thinking on it, I might ask a question like, if you added one outrageous element to this vision, what would it be? All right, let me pause here. Any thoughts or questions on giving permission, breaking rules and expectations, or doable with a stretch? Okay, we'll keep on going. Here's another guideline. When co-creating a vision, it's important that your client believe in the vision. When co-creating a vision, it's important that your client believe in the vision. So this goes back to everything we looked at when we looked at celebrating and our celebrating skills. In order for a client or any human being to pursue any vision, they need to believe that they can accomplish it. if they don't, it's going to be very hard to move forward. Right. So this is a little strategizing, like leaning into the strategizing. But oftentimes, as I'm working on a vision with a client, I might ask questions to support them believing that they can achieve it. Like, what inner resources do you have that will help you achieve this? What outer resources do you have? What have you already created that gives you evidence that you can do this? Along with a client believing that they can achieve it, when we're creating the vision, it's important for them to feel excited. They're like, Amy was saying before, there can be some fear in there, right? But we want some excitement, right? So sometimes asking questions like, what will be possible for you when you achieve this vision? How are you going to feel when you achieve this? Sometimes leading a somatic visualization, starting from the places where in your body do you feel excited about this vision? And then having the client kind of really dip down into feeling that excitement and then asking them what else they see or details of what they see. Have them follow the excitement. Okay. I mentioned this at least once today, and I've mentioned this before in this program, and I'm going to keep on coming back to this. Know what season your client is in. As we were talking about earlier with Sharon, if a client is, for example, in a winter season where they need to release first before moving forward, where they're meant to be in the mystery, right? There are moments where we're meant to be in the mystery. Clarity isn't always something that we want to have. So anyway, if a client isn't in a spring or a summer, but they're in a winter, it's not the moment for big visioning. And we don't want to become what I call push coaches or practitioners, where we push people into visions and we push people into taking action when it is not aligned for them yet. When what is aligned for them and where we can do our best work in that moment with them is releasing or helping them rest. So part of this is the more that I hate to say it, and I hate to say it to myself too, but I'm going to say it. Part of us being able to do this with clients is working it more and more with ourselves, right? I will just raise my hand to say I am guilty of pushing I'm guilty of pushing myself when it was not the right moment, right? And I can also tell you, I have had moments where I have pushed myself to create a vision for like what that next program is. And because it wasn't a moment where I was ready, I spent all this time, my team spent all the time setting it up. And guess what? It wasn't the right program. It was not the right vision, right? So we want to be working this ourselves as well. Jessica.
Yeah. Hi. When you said it's time for the person just to rest and to regroup, that really, really hit me, because A few years ago, I was going through a very, very traumatic personal situation and seeing a therapist, right? So, and she would, you know, try to say, hey, you know, let's write down some ideas, how we can move forward, all those kind of things. But there were some days, and I was talking with my study buddy, Jennifer, about this too, told her there were sometimes, I think maybe four times during our couple of years working together, where I said to her, I just need to take a nap on your couch. And she's like, great, no problem. Closed the door, put the blanket on me, and came back in 45 minutes. It was so beautiful. But that was really what I needed. But no good work was going to happen that day. I just needed to sleep. So yeah.
I so love that you asked for that and you were able to have it. It's so great. And, you know, to like use that nap on the couch metaphorically, sometimes when we're working with a client, that's like a 2-month nap that they need, right? And then our work is to support them in fulfilling that vision of really regrouping and really nourishing themselves deeply with rest.
So true. And now my life is so amazing and brilliant in that sector of my life is just so wonderful because she gave me that opportunity to just make space and let the universe deliver to me when it was ready. Yeah. So,
yeah. Aww, thank you for sharing that. I'm so glad you were able to have that. It feels like you were able to integrate it from all of that. Okay. All right. A couple other things for today. Be willing to reflect the truth, right? So we looked at this in our creating awareness module. If you sense that a client's vision is too small for what's aligned for them and where they're at, be willing to reflect that. If you sense that the vision isn't attainable in the time period or not aligned, I know it can be hard to look at that together, but it's important to do that, right? It might end up being like we looked at in our creating awareness that it is aligned. But if you have that sense, if you've checked your filters, you use all of those reflecting the truth skills so that you don't build on an unsound foundation together. I have this written down here in this section. I think it can go for anything. We always want to work with our client's agenda and it's also important for us to share what we see for them. And then, as I said earlier in the call, visions don't always come at once. Sometimes we need to slow it down. Danielle was sharing earlier about being in the discomfort, right? The slowing it down and taking the time with the vision. Sometimes needs space. Sometimes also, I'll just say, like, if we get too serious about it, it can like tighten, you know, energy follows energy. It can kind of tighten up the client. Sometimes because visioning can bring up so much, I like to be kind of more playful with it. Okay, I think we'll save protocol for a first session for next time. Maria, I don't think I ended up answering your question from before, which was, I think, what is the difference between how are vision and intention related? So some of this might be semantics and how different people define those words, but I'll just share for me, the vision is more about the outer part of it. And the intention is more about the energy. What is the energy that I want to bring to this vision? Or what is the energy that I want to bring to the execution of this vision? For me, that's what intention is. But it can be defined, I think, in a lot of different ways. Okay. I'm glad we have 5-6 minutes left. I don't want to fill you up with any more content. Instead, I want to just spend the last couple of minutes, first of all, asking you to take a moment and jot down, what are you really taking for yourself from our call today? What's one or two things that are feeling most important? And I want to hear shares and questions. I want to hear shares and questions in a moment. But before that, I want to just give a little homework. So if you're working with a practice partner in this program, we're going to do the practice a little bit differently over the next 2 weeks. Instead of in one practice session, splitting it halfway, you know, coaching and then the next person coaching, over the next 2 weeks or the next two times that you meet, I want to invite you each to take a full session to do a visioning session with your practice partner. So spend, you know, save time at the end for, you know, breaking things down on reflections, but give yourself a nice 40, 45 minutes or so to really get into visioning with your partner. Use all of the different pieces that we looked at today. You'll get, you know, your regular kind of questions and things in your homework and resource sheets in the member center. But in case this isn't in there, I just want to make sure I share this. If you are currently working with clients, another thing that I want to invite you to do is go through your client roster over the next week or two. And for each client, ask, are you clear on what their vision is? Are they clear on what their vision is? If there has been clarity, do you sense that the vision is the same or has it shifted for them? Are they connected to their vision, right? And then change things accordingly based on those answers, based on the answers to those questions. So are you clear? Are they clear on the vision? Do you sense that it's shifted, but the two of you haven't spoken about it? And are they connected? Are they feeling connected? Jennifer.
Hi, thanks. I just wanted to reflect something that felt important for me is I really feel grateful for the structure and scaffolding and the flexibility. And it just resonated with a client that I have that, like, I tend to be type A and want to do it right and have like a system, but also be flexible. And she and I have, you know, the pre questions, you know, to fill out with what's your intended goal, your desired outcomes for our work together. And she left it completely blank and, you know, said, oh, we could work on this, but sort of didn't. And we've been working together for, I think a couple months, maybe a few months. But what was beautiful, I mean, I don't even know, like, I don't want to make it too long, but she came back after, she also was healing from something, like she's very upset about something that occurred at work and felt very needed to heal from that. And she came back from an event that she had gone to and was like, I know what I want to do. I'm like very clear and I want us to work on and I'm doing this. And I'm so happy that thing at work didn't work out, because if it had, I wouldn't be able to do this thing that I really want to do. So it was, anyway, I don't know. It just feels like this feels very spacious and has a structure, but it doesn't feel rigid.
Yeah. First of all, I love that story. I love how she came to it. And yeah, I think I'm so glad you're sharing this. It's like, we don't, with any of our coaching, right? We don't want rigidity and this step and then this step and then this step, because that's not how humans work. That's why I like to kind of give the guidelines or the strategies or the principles, and then you work with that. Thank you. Good. Tracy is asking, so I'm going to repeat Tracy. And also, just so everybody knows, in the member center, there is a tab where every week it gives what the assignments are for the coaching sessions. So in case you ever miss it when I share it, or even if I forget to share it at the end, it's always going to be in the member center. But so what I said is, it's a little different this week. Instead of both partners coaching within the same session, like usual, if that's how you're doing it, over the next two times you meet with your coaching partner, only have one coach and one client, and spend the full session in a visioning session. So you're starting with asking your coaching partner, what is something that you would like to vision out for yourself? And then give yourself, both of you, the experience of having, you know, a nice 45 minutes or so to get into the details of the vision and all the different pieces we spoke about today. All right, I'd love to hear, I know we're at time, actually I'll just say, so we don't go over, we're officially done, so we have to go. But if anybody else wants to share what you're taking away, or if you have any questions, I'm happy to hear it. If not, I'm sending you all a lot of love. I hope you have a great week and have fun with visioning. Anyone else want to share before we wrap for today?
Just thank you so much, Joanna. This has been awesome. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
You're so welcome. All right, everyone. I'm sending you lots of love. Have a great rest of your day. Bye.